I missed you the last couple weeks. Hope you missed me, too. I'm Duncan Strauss. Really delighted for bringing you another edition of Talking Animals, in which we'll discuss horses and the therapeutic virtues of riding them for an array of conditions with Dr. Edie Dopking, founder of Quantum Leap Farm. First, though, we're kicking off the show with an animal tune. This is Brett Denon with Comeback Kid, That's My Dog, which I play somewhat ironically here on Talking Animals.
Here we go. Oh, yeah. Well, maybe it's a common curse. Maybe things get bad before they get worse. I don't want to become someone who can't live up to what I already done. Don't keep it just to figure it out. Well, it rains and pours and then it runs out. I was crying on the bathroom floor. And just when I thought I could take no more, well, here comes the comeback. The kid is back, back on track. And there goes my hero. He's the underdog, he's coming out on top. And come on, come on back.
That's my dog.
It was a dog with a trailer park. She went whistling through the graveyard. She came to raise the dead. And I was a stain on her mad bed. I found the love within, I lost myself.
That was Brett Denon with Comeback Kid, That's My Dog. Tease us into today's edition of... Okay. We'll adjust that right now. We're not even going to wait. Just so we don't have that happen again. All right, cool. All right, so this is Talking Animals. My name is Duncan Strauss, here with our program that's devoted to all subjects in the animal kingdom. In just a few minutes, we'll be speaking with today's guest, Dr. Edie Dopking, founder of Quantum Leap Farm, a therapeutic equestrian program in Odessa, Florida, that's designed to serve civilian adults and veterans as well as children. The wide array of disabilities, Quantum Leap appears to be singular by virtue of its sweeping scope. The program's participants have ranged in age from 3 to 92. Their work with veterans who have sustained wounds of war and the families of those veterans represents yet another distinctive aspect. Quantum Leap. We'll discuss all this and more when Dr. Edie Dopking joins us in studio in a few moments here on Talking Animals. And we'll also welcome your questions and comments at 813-239-9663 or by email at dj at WMNF. Also a bit later in the show, we'll step into the Comedy Corner. We'll play Name That Animal Tune. The winner will receive a copy of Boys and Girls, the acclaimed debut album by Alabama Shakes, who burst onto the scene earlier this year, kicking up an extraordinary amount of buzz. And with WMNF's Fall Fun Drive less than a month away, we hope you might consider helping us get a jump on our fundraising. While we help you score tickets to the highly anticipated show by Florence and the Machine, September 25th at the USF Sundome. More on that in a moment. And later we'll hear another animal song or two I'd planned to play. When I thought Talking Animals were going to air during the RNC. Oh, you beautiful dreamer. Right now, though, it's time for the Animal News and Announcements segment. A look at items of interest in animal news, as well as announcements of local events on the horizon. Produced, as always, by the Talking Animals award-winning Rip and Reed News Department. First, before we even get into that, I want to remind you that the WNF Listener Survey is still available, and we seek your input on our programming at WNF. We're coming up on that time every 2 years where we look at program schedule changes and trying to figure out what to add or subtract or change or expand, all those things. So you can find the survey at the top of our website page, WMNF.org. We're seeking a total of 1,000 respondents. We're rapidly closing in on that number, so please take a few minutes and fill it out today. And if Talking Animals is a show you listen to, or maybe even a favorite show of yours on WNF, well, you can note that too. We don't mind. So anyway, as for those tickets, like I said, the fun drive is less than a month away, the fall fun drive. It's going to be October 10th through 17th. So always looking for a little running start. So if you'd like to go see Florence and the Machine with special guest the Maccabees, September 25th at the USF Sundome, we take a pledge of $80 for that. Great for us, great for you. And, of course, Florence, amazing singer, big, big pipes and a captivating performer. And she's got a couple animal songs, right? I mean, one of those hits is Dog Days Are Over and others. So, anyways, call us here at 813-239-9663 or email us at dj@wmnf.org and we will fix you up. All right, now on to actual animal news and announcements. And we're going to front load the announcements this week because we've been gone for a couple weeks and we missed a few things that we were hoping to tell people about, so we want to be sure to get those done right off the bat for those that are pending, especially this weekend, including Florida Voices for Animals' annual dog and car wash happening this Saturday, September 15th, and it's going to go from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Rolling Oats Market and Cafe, 1021 North MacDill Avenue in Tampa, and they'll wash your dog, they'll wash your car, or they'll wash both. So it's a great fundraiser, and this year the proceeds will be split between Florida Voices for Animals and the Little Cats Rescue. So you can help two organizations by getting your dog and or your car washed. And again, the Little Cats Rescue, great organization trying to help find homes for cats, and they're, I think, at full capacity themselves. And they've got tons of great adoptable cats of all colors and styles. And if you go to their Facebook page, just look for the Little Cats Rescue on Facebook. You can find out more about some of the cats they have. And they're every other week. They're now at Dog Lovers of Tarpon every other weekend to do adoptions. And anyways, anything you can do to help them, they're great folks with cats coming out of their ears, so maybe you could find a home or two for some of those cats. Also coming up this weekend is the Pet Pal Animal Shelter Strut Your Mud event, September 15th. Festivities start at 6 p.m. There's a huge patio for dancing, doggy biscuit bar, raffles, prizes, adoptable dogs, and good vibes generally. That's at the Ale and the Witch in St. Pete. You can find out more at petpalanimalshelter.com. A little bit further down the road, but you want to mark your calendar, is Racing for Rescues. That's going to be Sunday, October 7th. And Wow, all right. Well, here's something where it was submitted, but we don't really know the location. Oh, sorry, I guess it's Showtime Speedway. All right, just not the addresses included, but it's 11 a.m. to 5 p.m., Showtime Speedway, and proceeds are going to be donated to various rescues that are attending that, and it's going to sounds like a pretty cool thing. There's adoptions, canine educational demonstrations, silent auction raffles, cutest doggy contest, and more. So you can email for more information, racing4rescues@gmail.com to get more details on that event. And also coming up Sunday, October 7th, the Blessing of the Animals. You can bring a family pet or receive a hands-on blessing. Remember your pet on the memorial board and visit with Pinellas Park Mounted Police. That's all taking place at Good Samaritan Church Sunday, October 7th from 4 to 6 p.m. And you can go to petpanelanimalshelter.org for more information about that. And then further into October, it's Tampa Bay Veg Fest. Great, gigantic, sprawling, cool event happening October 13th at Cotinchobe Fort Brooke Park from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. All kinds of great stuff. Vegetarian and vegan food, vendors, live music, speakers, films, kids' activities, cooking demos, animal adoptions, and much, much more. In fact, I know they have such an ambitious thing planned that they could use some extra volunteers. So whether that's helping set up for leafleting, because there's another event actually happening nearby that day, and they want to let people know about the Veg Fest or assisting vendors or other odds and ends. Basically, if you want to email info@TampaBayVegFest.org, info@TampaBayVegFest.org, or just generally, if you're interested in the event or helping out, you can just go to TampaBayVegFest.org. They got all kinds of great info, and it's going to be a really wonderful event, as it has been the last 2 years. This is the third one. And another thing coming up in October. October is a busy month for animal events, including the 12th annual Stride for Strays Walk to Benefit Animal Coalition of Tampa. And that's going to happen at Curtis Hickson Park, celebrating its 12th year. The event brings animal lovers and their pets from all over the Tampa Bay area for a 3K walk to help raise funds for the ACT Spay-Neuter Clinic and their new larger facility. So you can register if you want to walk, or even if you just want to find out more, you can go to strideforstrays.org, and there'll be all kinds of other cool things happening, whether you walk or not, food, fun, entertainment, contests, games, and more. So that's the Stride for Strays, Sunday, October 21st, Curtis Hickson Park, courtesy of ACT. All right, let's get into some actual news events. We'll try to get back to some other stuff in a moment, but saw this from Associated Press. The U.S. Department of Agriculture is buying meat again from a Central California slaughterhouse that's been at the center of an animal cruelty investigation. A statement the USDA issued Monday says that Central Valley Meat Company's improved oversight for animal welfare prompted the government to reinstate purchases for federal feeding programs. Officials with the Food Safety and Inspection Service concluded last week that there was no evidence of sick cattle entering the food supply after an undercover video showed workers kicking and shocking down cattle in an attempt to herd them to slaughter. Closer by, Savannah, Georgia, a federal judge says the Navy can build a $100 million offshore training range for submarine warfare, despite environmentalist concerns that it would threaten endangered right whales. U.S. District Judge Lisa Godby Wood ruled the Navy took a, quote, hard look before concluding risk to whales would be minimal off the coast of southern Georgia and northern Florida, where the whales migrate each winter to give birth. She cited case law saying judges should give the great deference to the military regarding its training. The Southern Environmental Law Center sued the Navy in 2010, saying the range would threaten right whales with ship strikes, entanglement with parachutes, and possible harm from sonar. Environmentalists asked the Navy to suspend training during the five-month calving season. The judge says the Navy rationally rejected that option. And, alright, we'll come back to more later on the show as time permits, but, it's time now to step into the Talking Animals Comedy Corner. I thought today we should feature a piece at least somewhat relevant to our imminent conversation with Dr. Docking. So this is Jerry Seinfeld with a portion of a piece called Horses on today's Comedy Corner on Talking Animals.
I've tried horseback riding. I can't really do that. And, they don't really give you the good horses when you're not good at it. I found that out. Guy says, what level rider would you say that you are? I go, I don't know, zero, nothing, whatever the system is. I can't do it. Is that clear enough for you? I'm going where the horse wants to go, okay? That's my level. Of course, they hear that, they start looking around. All right, is glue stick back yet? How about almost dead? Why don't you saddle him up? So I get on this U-shaped, lightning-quick steed I got here. I had the only horse. You could put your feet flat on the ground while you're riding it. I'm riding a hammock here. I'm looking up at my friends. I don't feel like we all got the same kind of horse. It was kind of a secure feeling. I could just kind of walk along with them there. And the horse isn't too thrilled with having me either. The horse knows they may be dumb, but they know you can't ride. And they don't like it. They just stop, you know, and they look up at you with that frightening horsey face, you know, with those huge nostrils and that big bowling ball eye. And chill out, Hopalong. I know the trail. Yeah, I'm here every goddamn day, okay? And I really appreciate the kicking while I'm taking a leak, too. Yeah, thanks a lot. That really improves the already wonderful life that I have. People either sitting on me or kicking me while I'm peeing. I've got a real sweet gig here at the ranch.
All right. That was Jerry Seinfeld with a portion of a piece called Horses, taken from his album I'm Telling You for the Last Time. I'm Duncan Strauss. This is Talking Animals. Our website is talkinganimals.net. It's nearly time to speak with today's guest, Dr. Edie Dopking. As I noted earlier, Dr. Dopking is the founder of Quantum Leap Farm, a therapeutic equestrian program in Odessa, Florida, that has a much broader constituency than most such riding programs, both with respect to the sweeping age range of its participants and the array of conditions that bring those participants to Quantum Leap, including veterans suffering from PTSD and other wounds of war. So, with a reminder that we invite you to join the conversation by calling 813-239-9663 or emailing us at dj@wmnf.org. Let's welcome Dr. Dopking to Talking Animals. Good morning, Dr. Dopking.
Good morning, Duncan. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks so much for joining us on Talking Animals. And again, it's always an extra treat when someone's in studio and can actually have eye contact and like a normal conversation almost. So that's really cool. So I'm really eager to discuss Quantum Leap Farm, of course, but I think we should first hear some of the Dr. Dopking story. I'm going to go out on a wild limb and guess that someone who founded a therapeutic equestrian program has ridden and loved horses probably much of your life?
Pretty much as far back as I can remember. Don't know why. My dad always just said it was a bad gene.
Oh, really? Yeah. Okay. And when did you first ride a horse?
I think when I was 2. My mother put me on a pony at one of those little, you know, at the end of the neighborhood street where the guy sets up the ponies on the little Ferris wheel,
sure,
kind of thing, and they go around and around.
Yeah,
and I remember, vaguely remember coming off with 2 big handfuls of black mane.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
well, that stuck with you.
It. Yeah.
Yeah. So what was that? Even at 2, was it kind of like, okay, I've got a handful, but I love this, or
absolutely,
I want to go back and do more?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
I just loved them.
And then from there, as you got beyond 2, was it just sort of one of those things like a lot of, you know, people, especially, you know, girls often, I think, that just were like, that was your passion, that was your, what you wanted to do?
Yeah, I was lucky enough to grow up in Bowling Green, Kentucky. My dad was a math professor there, and it was a sort of a rural town, and a lot of the kids in my neighborhood, a lot of the little girls in my neighborhood all had horses. And, you know, we were able to keep them within bike riding distance of our houses. And it was inexpensive there, too. You know, land was plentiful. Grass was very nutritious there. And, I mean, we never paid a lot of money for board or anything like that. So it was pretty typical for kids to have horses
at
that
great
time.
Yeah.
You know, this was late 60s, early 70s. And it was much less expensive. Florida's a different story.
Right. Well, just generally, probably it's not as inexpensive as you've just described. But, So what about other animals in your family or in your formative years? Were they part of that too, or was it mostly just all horses for you guys?
Mostly horses, but you know, we were kind of an animal family, so we've had snakes, turtles, dogs, cats, rats,
whatever.
Yeah.
All animals all the time. And then, as part of that neighborhood thing where most of your friends and yourself had horses, was there then riding competitively, or where did that go sort of as you advanced into your teen years and beyond?
Yeah. Mostly when I was a child, it was recreational trail riding and that kind of thing. There was a lot of area to ride around Bowling Green, and you could get out of town, not even trailering, just keep riding one direction, and you know, you'd be out in the country. So a lot of trail riding. I did do some competition as an adult, mostly in my 30s and early 40s, and that was a lot of fun.
And what kind of riding or competing was that?
Did a little hunter jumper and did some 3-day eventing, a little bit of dressage, and you know, tried all kinds of things. I played a little bit of polo for a while, you know, I like to try a lot of different things with horses. There's a lot of different things that you can do and a lot of different ways to enjoy them.
Sure, sure. And so let's fast forward a bit. First of all, if you just tuned in, we're speaking with Dr. Edie Dopkin, founder of Quantum Leap Pharma Therapeutic Equestrian Program based in Odessa, Florida. If you'd like to ask Dr. Dopkin a question or offer a comment, please call 813-239-9663, or you can email us at dj@wmnf.org. Okay, so let's fast forward a bit. From there to now you're in Florida, and it sounds like kind of a pivotal development regarding what we're mostly here to discuss today is your time volunteering at another sort of program.
Yes.
Maybe tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah. And that program is still existing. It's Bacchus Equestrian Center, that is part of Hillsborough County Parks and Rec. And, it's, 25 plus years old and just a very high quality, wonderful program. And they primarily serve kids, although, you know, some kids have grown up in their program and they serve some adults too. But I was lucky enough to get started volunteering there in the early 90s and volunteered off and on for a period of about 10 years as work allowed me to. And, just fell in love with the work. That was my introduction, to therapeutic riding. And I just thought I've done an awful lot of things with horses, but I thought that was absolutely the most fun thing I had ever done with horses.
And how so? What, it sounds like it really kind of like, you know, was a magical, moment for you.
Definitely.
What about it?
Well, you know, I think for me as a child, riding was something that was really great for my self-esteem, sense of mastery, accomplishment, all that sort of thing. And then there's something kind of magical about just connecting with an animal that big.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm amazed that they just kind of go along with this whole idea that we're going to hop on and they're going to take us where we want to go. And, you know, they're so cool and so easygoing. Okay, that seems like a good idea. You know, that's always amazed me. So to see a kid or an adult with a disability, especially someone who uses a wheelchair or who has mobility disability, hop on a horse and all of a sudden they've got legs, you know, and they can pretty easily get that horse to go where they want it to go. And to watch them discover, you know, that kind of mobility, and horses are great equalizers that way. I've had so many people say to me, you know, when I'm on this horse, nobody would really know I have a disability, you know, and so it's so fun.
How powerful is that?
Yeah, exactly. So it's extremely gratifying to see people get the same thing out of it I get out of it, but even more so because of their particular circumstances.
Sure. So when you were at Bacchus and you had this sort of profound reaction to it, from there, like, how were the wheels turning, and for how long where you thought, okay, this is really cool. I see what's happening with these kids on these horses. Now I might do something else, kind of using that as a jumping off point.
Yeah. Well, in 1991, I bought a little farm out in Odessa, 10 acres out there, at the west end of Woodstock Road, and fully just intended to have my horses at home with me and maybe a couple of girlfriends and, you know, do more trail riding and that kind of thing, sort of a continuum of the childhood. Not sure I ever grew up. but, anyway, had a conversation with a fellow named Pat Vanetta, who is still at Bacchus, and he's a veteran himself, and I've always, loved veterans. My dad was a World War II vet, fought in New Guinea, and so we had a conversation one day about, doing therapeutic riding for veterans, and he said that, they would love to do it at Bacchus, but they were so busy, they didn't have the time, and really their mission was to serve kids, and, he kind of planted a seed and said, you got that great little piece of property up there, why don't you think about starting a program for adults and for veterans? And I chewed on it for a few years and then sold a business and thought, if I'm ever going to do it, this would be the time.
And what was the business? Sorry, I might have skipped over that.
Okay. It was Access Imaging Center. We were an outpatient MRI center.
Right.
We did a little fluoroscopy and X-ray as well. And I was partners with a bunch of other local people, my former husband at the time. And he was a very, very sharp businessman, still is. And I did the marketing and the technical work, and it just kind of grew. And we had a public company come along and want to buy it. And it wasn't exactly the golden parachute, but it was a fair price for the company. And it gave our employees some upward mobility, which they didn't have, with us owning it. And he and I had divorced by that time. And so it was a good out for us as well. And it seemed like a very serendipitous answer. So after thinking about it for a while, I thought, I've got a little time on my hands. I've got a little bit of money and I've got this farm.
Yeah.
It's time.
Perfect combo.
Yeah, exactly. You don't often have the money and the time at the same time.
Right.
It's usually one or the other.
Or the farm.
Yeah.
Cool. So then, sounds like from the very get-go, the veteran, helping veterans was kind of the essential element.
Definitely. And I got a PhD from USF in their aging research studies program and got to do a lot of work, with researchers at the VA. When you're a PhD student, you get to be minion for, senior researchers,
helping people
which is great,
but
met a lot of people at the VA. And so when I started Quantum, they were one of our first referral sources. So we started working with veterans right from year one. And, of course, then when we became involved in the conflicts in Iraq and Afghanistan, the floodgates opened.
Sure.
And we really started working with a lot of polytrauma and brain injured, spinal cord injury, burn patients. It's gone from there.
So it sounds like, just even what you just said a moment ago, that sort of almost any and all so-called wounds of war are the kind of folks that then could come there and be helped by Quantum Leap's program.
Yeah. There's a lot of, obviously for people who have been around IED explosions and been in IED explosions and that kind of thing, they receive multiple injuries. I mean, just closed head injuries or traumatic brain injury. Post-traumatic stress disorder, too, occurs with really high frequency. A lot of them have burns and amputations and even spinal cord injuries and that kind of thing. Anyone with mobility disability is a good candidate for therapeutic horseback riding because the movement is therapeutic. It models normal human gait. Also, there's something about the rhythm that helps coordinate muscular coordination and cognition. And so those are the two aspects.
Meaning that helps someone heal who's otherwise still trying to recover from whatever those injuries were that,
So
it helps promote that beyond the other benefits that are more immediate from the riding. But that is an essential benefit, I guess. Really.
Absolutely. And those are just the physical aspects.
Mm-hmm.
One of the VA's big pushes is family and community reintegration. Coming back to civilian life can be very uncomfortable for a lot of these guys. I've had several tell me that they feel more comfortable in country than they do coming home because their experiences have been so intense.
Yeah.
And things that we don't see, as civilians, it's really hard for them to explain to us what they've been through, even their spouses and their kids. And so there's this gap, that they have to overcome. And so family and community reintegration are a very important thing. And of course, that doesn't happen in the hospital. That happens in the community.
Sure.
So programs like ours, there's some other really good programs, recreational programs for injured veterans or injured active service members. Mm-hmm. There's a sailing program called Sailability. Mm. There's a golf program that I don't know the name of. But there's a really great fly fishing program. Hmm. And the rec therapists at James Haley and Bay Pines VA, know of all these programs, and they'll find a service member's interest and get them and their families together to go do these recreational activities. And, you know, that's great for family reintegration, and it gets them interacting with people in the community, the volunteers that help, instructors that help, and that kind of thing. And so they start losing that self-consciousness about, you know, some of them have disfiguring injuries, yeah. You know, and we've had a lot of the therapists tell us that, you know, one of the hardest things is just getting them out of the hospital the first time. So, you know, and that's really the cool thing about animals is, and horses in particular, you know, they pretty much think every human looks like a vending machine. So, yeah. You know, so they're...
Yeah, if you got a treat, I'm in, man.
Yeah, they're happy to know you, whether you're ugly, pretty, rich, sure. Poor, fat, skinny, white, black. They don't care.
Yeah.
You know, they're very accepting of anyone.
And also, too, from what you said a moment ago, it really makes sense is the idea of being in country too, because we've done a number of shows kind of related to dogs and others that have been helping folks with PTSD in particular, and it just seems like one of the recurring things is crowds and, you know, just that whole thing. So being in the country right away before you even introduce the horse with your treat or whatever seems like that would be soothing.
Absolutely.
And then, so maybe you could tell us a little bit, Dr. Dopkin, about like, let's take someone that does have PTSD, but maybe doesn't overtly have other, physical injuries, and like, what that program would be like, and what sort of benefits they reap over time, and then maybe we'll come and contrast it with someone that has more distinct, or visible physical injuries.
Right. There are invisible wounds of war as
For
well.
For sure.
Yeah. And I think those are the hardest ones to get past, you know, because people look at a person with PTSD and they look fine.
Yeah.
You know, and they expect them to act fine, but they can't always. And so they tend to get self-conscious and defensive and do isolative types of behaviors and that kind of thing. So we have a psychosocial program called At Ease, which is equine assisted self-exploration. And the model we use, we didn't invent it. We use a model that was, created by the Equine Assisted Growth and Learning Association, which is an international organization that certifies mental health professionals to use horses as a therapeutic tool. So, for instance, we had a couple a while back that were having marital problems. He had had multiple deployments, and she was here, you know, raising the kids. And of course, necessarily, spouses who are here become very independent. So do the kids.
Mm-hmm.
They have to.
Yeah.
You know, and then many times, you know, the service member comes home with all these strategies that work well on the battlefield, but not so much at home with the spouse and the kids.
Lots of conflict.
Yeah. And so that whole family reintegration comes back into play. I mean, the kids are like, kind of like, you know, who are you and what have you done with my dad? You know, sometimes.
Yeah.
So this, you know, we can do individual couples counseling, family counseling. We can do groups. But we had this couple come out and they'd been having some marital problems, and, one of the first things we do is have them walk out in the pasture and, you know, we do a little safety talk about horses and that they're prey animals and how they might defend themselves and, you know, to be thinking like a horse along those lines. And so we let them choose a horse that they want to work with and then, you know, tell us, you know, what is it about that horse that makes them want to work with that horse? Hmm. Is there anything in particular that they find attractive or what? And anyway, so this couple's out there and they're kind of surveying the horses, and we have a horse named Tampa who is the alpha horse in the herd.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And so the other horses just kind of give him a lot of room.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, they're kind of looking around at the herd and she immediately says, well, we don't want to work with that one over there. And she points
referring
to Tampa.
Yeah.
And she says, we don't want to work with that one. He's obviously got social issues. And, they're laughing, you know, and he looks at her and he looks at Tampa and he says, I think he just needs a little time to himself. You know,
wow.
So immediately
wow.
this so conversation yeah. starts, you know, yeah. the horses are metaphors mm-hmm. for things that yeah. are going on in people's lives, and the learning is experiential, you know, as well. And so people's coping strategies are their coping strategies. And so what we do is create novel questions or challenges that make people use their creative thinking and their mm-hmm. coping strategies. So they're right there to discuss out in the open. And, it can be a very brief therapy because of that. You know, it's one thing to sit in someone's office and say, God, I hate it when my husband does X, Y, Z.
Right.
You know, but it's another thing to be right there when it happens and
yeah.
say, okay, you know, how's that working for you? Does it remind
right.
you of anything that happens at home or work?
Right.
You know,
right.
how could you do this better? And,
right.
and,
well, that
and
example,
let's try that right here.
Yeah. I mean, for her to say that and for him to say, hey, maybe this needs a little more time. I mean, geez, you know,
yeah.
that couldn't be more
yeah.
telling. So,
yeah.
so
yeah.
let's take that a little step further now. So in that, let's say take that couple. So they're out and they've said, okay, we don't want Tampa, but presumably they do select a horse. Now, is not only the veteran, but the wife, also then riding?
Well, in the At Ease program, we typically don't ride. That's
oh, okay.
all done
oh.
on the ground.
Oh, okay.
And the horses are either in hand or at liberty, depending on the exercise.
Mm.
And, the clients generally tell us the sorts of things that they think they'd like to work on. You know, sometimes it's, you know, communication, trust, sometimes there's financial hardship, you know, they'll go through things that they consider to be life challenges.
Mm-hmm.
And then, our program is actually co-facilitated by two mental health professionals, Carla Statz and Jenna Miller. And they have dual certifications. They're both equine professionals and mental health professionals
mm.
through EGALA. And it's always done in a team. And, so anyway, yes, they get to choose a horse. And for instance, we used to work with a group of guys that came out from the mental health intensive case management program at James Haley VA. And we have a donkey on the property. He's really cute, kind of gray, fuzzy, big mm-hmm. ears, the typical, you know. And anyway, when those guys would come out, especially if there was a new guy, he would always pick the donkey to work with. And we'd say, you know, so what's so interesting about the donkey? And they'd say, well, he's different from the rest of the herd.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he doesn't really fit in with the other horses.
Wow.
He seems lonely. And there they go, just projecting, you know, because a lot of these guys are Vietnam era vets who had PTSD.
Yeah.
And it's progressed to things that are more severe, like schizophrenia or bipolar disease or major depression.
Wow.
And, so they are what these Afghanistan and Iraqi, you know, service members will become if this PTSD is left untreated.
Hmm. So then the At Ease program, it sounds like, since you said that typically people don't actually get on the horses, but these
right.
examples you've given, it sounds like really it's, at least in the psychoanalytic community, what you just say, talk therapy. So it's basically kind of talk therapy, but sort of the horse is not only there, but obviously sort of really lubricating the conversation and what people are, what they mean to or not, are really revealing about some of the key issues.
Definitely, definitely. The horse becomes a catalyst, and the exercises become a catalyst for meaningful conversation that might be really awkward to have, you know, in someone's office or just looking at each other, but many times they're talking about the horse, which is much more comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
sure.
although they're apparently talking about the horse, they're really talking about themselves.
Yeah.
I can give you another, you know, for instance.
Sure.
This was one I wasn't present for, but Jenna and Carla told me about. We had a horse, Smokey, who had been donated to us, and had a long show career. And at some point in time, one of his owners clipped his tail so that he wouldn't swish it in the show ring, which I think is a dumb thing to do. Yeah, exactly. But nonetheless, it left him unable to swish flies. And so when flies get on him, he can be really squirmy and
sure.
worried.
Irritated,
and,
right?
and,
yeah.
Yeah, and yeah, and yeah,
I
yeah.
I can't take care of this myself.
Exactly,
yeah.
exactly. Yeah. Does no one see this fly on my foot?
Right.
You know, so we have a veteran there who was holding on to him, and he was diagnosed with PTSD and some other diagnoses. And anyway, Smokey starts getting really agitated and irritated, and he's kind of stomping and flinging his head around and that kind of thing. And it's making his holder, his client, nervous, you know. And so he's questioning, you know, Carla and Jenna, what's he doing? What's he doing? And they said, well, what do you think he's doing? And he said, I don't know, but, you know, if he, you know, keeps behaving threateningly like this, I'm going to have to take him out. And the guy was serious, absolutely
wow.
serious.
Wow.
And they said, well, what's threatening about his behavior? And he said, I don't like the look on his face. And, you know, his ears are pinned and he's stomping and that kind of thing. And Carla said, well, you know, why don't you try loosening up on that lead rope just a little bit and see if you give him a little space, if he doesn't relax a little. Soon as he did, Smokey turns around and bites this fly that was chewing on his flank, you know, and then as soon as he's done doing that, he drops his head and takes this big sigh. And, you know, the guy looks at them and he looks at the horse and he says, you know, that's just like my wife. She probably needs just a little bit more freedom and we'd have less conflict.
Wow.
You know, it was an epiphany,
yeah.
you know, for him. And it's this experiential, metaphorical learning that is so valuable. I mean, they immediately see the parallels with their relationships and their work.
That was my next question, because, I mean, some of these things are just so profoundly revealing, but do they typically identify it as such right away or only later? Or?
You know, yes and yes.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes
okay.
it is right away like
yeah.
that. And of course, those are the stories I'd love to tell. But we also have people we do these retreats for wives of wounded service members, and they're caring for moderate to high functioning service members who have traumatic brain injury and many times post-traumatic stress disorder. And, so we've had a lot of them blog us later or email us later and say, you know, I have been chewing on things that happened in that session for weeks now. And I can tell you that I'm starting to understand they've said, you know, many times I left thinking, wow, that was really great. And then 3 weeks out, it's like, no, you have no idea how life-saving that was.
Wow.
We have actually had women email us back and say, you know, you saved our marriage or you saved our lives or you know, I was at my rope's end and I didn't know what I was going to do.
Hmm.
And so
wow.
it can be so meaningful. There's a lot of peer-to-peer support, you
sure.
know, in those retreats too. And that's really, really important as well because they feel very isolated and alone. And to
yeah.
meet with other women who are in similar
going
circumstances
yeah.
and going through the same things, they mentor each other.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful thing.
Wow. This is Talking Animals. I'm discussing the therapeutic equestrian programs offered at Quantum Leap Farm with its founder, Dr. Edie Docking. We're sort of actually, unfortunately, really kind of nearing the end of our time, but if you have a quick question or comment, you want to call 813-239-9663 or email dj@wmnf.org. One of the emails that has come in, I won't read the whole thing, but it's from, it says, my wife and I run Saddle Up Riding Club in Pinellas Park, and writing in, I think, to acknowledge you, Dr. Dopking, and what they do, and so they are at saddleupridingclub.org. You know, before we totally run out of time, a couple quick things. One, maybe we'll come back to this, but I want to say that although, you know, it's particularly interesting to me and I'm hoping to the listeners about the help and the work with veterans, but also, people that might have Parkinson's, autism, cerebral palsy, Alzheimer's, Down syndrome are all people that also can
yes.
and are helped, routinely at Quantum Leap. Now here's the thing. I think it's safe to say horses are expensive to feed and care for. And so how is the Quantum Leap operation funded? I mean, obviously there's a way to donate. And again, the website is quantumleapfarm.org. And it's a really wonderful, rich website. So it's a pretty simple way to donate there. But I assume also there are other ways that people are sponsoring and donating and funding your work.
Absolutely. Have, you know, fundraisers, obviously, to help generate, funds for the program and for different, aspects of the program. We have one for kids with cancer and their families. Obviously the military service members, as well. We have a lot of autistic children that ride with us. So, different ways to fund those programs are, you know, some people choose a population, and provide scholarships for people with MS or, mm-hmm. or, you know, kids with cancer to ride in the program. Other people sponsor horses. We have a corporate sponsor, Buffalo Wild Wings, is sponsoring one of our therapy horses, for a $10,000 annual donation. So they've been very, very generous, with us. And we've got 12 horses and a donkey,
right.
Who all,
that pivotal donkey.
Yes. Who all need sponsorship, and they do cost us, anywhere between $7,000 and $10,000 a year. We have about a $600,000 budget that should be about a $750,000 a year budget. None of us are making a lot of money doing
sure.
this, but we are certainly, you know, enjoying the work because it's very gratifying. But
And how long, I mean, sure, this varies wildly and widely. How often, I mean, how long are certain people that come to you then continue with you, or does it really totally case by case?
It is case by case. We have some riders that have been with us 8-10 years. We're a 12-year-old nonprofit.
Yeah.
And then we have others, like a lot of the veterans that come to James Haley, they're there for maybe 6 weeks. You know, they have a really good traumatic brain injury rehab program there. And so they'll come there, and then they go back home. You know, so we'll see them once a week for the 6 weeks that they're there.
Oh,
and
I see.
Many times we'll stay in touch. But then we have other, like a lot of the children, as they progress and become stronger, we get a lot of kids, who are low tone, and horseback riding is really good for improving or normalizing muscle tone.
Mm.
And as they get older and get stronger, then they can move into more sophisticated, you know, riding, posting to the trot and do walk, trot, canter and that kind of thing. So it can be a long-term proposition, depending on a client's circumstances or a short-term one.
And it sounds like, the way you began this was at the Bacchus program that was chiefly for kids, and you said, hey, I want to do this for veterans and other adults, but it sounds like over time it's also kind of circled back around to some extent and
it has.
Yeah.
It has. You know, we came to realize that when an injury or an IED explosion or a diagnosis happens to an individual, it happens to their whole family. I mean, all of a sudden, the entire family's focus is that individual and their diagnosis and their rehabilitation and their treatment. And so the whole family really gets traumatized. And Quantum Leap Farm is a place where, you know, the whole family can come out and enjoy activities. We have siblings riding together. We have spouses riding together. So it can be a very much a family affair. So we say that we serve all ages and abilities, and primarily we start with a person who has, you know, a cognitive or emotional or physical disability, and end up working with their entire family.
And that's really the way that only, probably the best way, at least, that people can truly heal, if it's
absolutely
really integrated that way and
absolutely
kind of holistic in a sense.
Absolutely.
Yeah, because I noticed, and I think I've used it a few times in my Facebook posts, and yeah, like even in earlier in the show, but the age range is like from 3 to 92, I think, so
yeah.
That covers pretty good ground. So, well, gosh, Dr. Opting, I can't believe it, but we are sort of not on the end, but a little beyond, but I just couldn't stop. So let me just let folks know we've been speaking with Dr. Edie Dopking from Quantum Leap Farm. The website is quantumleapfarm.org, and you can support financially that way, but also I think you have a number of volunteers.
Yes.
If people are interested in hearing this and want to get involved and just help out one way or another, they could also go to the website and find out how to do that as well.
Yeah.
And the same thing, just because actually there's been two emails from different people about Saddle Up. They want to make a
great program.
Yeah,
too.
It's a great program, and they're needing help and volunteers as well. So that's saddleupridingclub.org. So Dr. Dopking, great, great work. I wish we could have talked longer. There's so many other things, but we'll get you back at some point and talk about more. But you're obviously doing wonderful work, and thanks so much for coming in and speaking with us today on Talking Animals.
Duncan, thank you. It's been my pleasure.
Thank you. Cool. So, all right, this is Talking Animals. And it's time now to proceed to name that animal tune. This is a giveaway. You do not need to be a WNF member to win. There'll be a prize, a copy of Boys and Girls, the acclaimed debut album by Alabama Shakes. The first person that calls in the correct title of this animal tune, 813-239-9663. This song would have had far more relevance during the RNC week when I planned to play it, but what the hell. So it's named that animal tune on Talking Animals. Got a few folks calling on. Let's see. Hi, you're on Talking Animals. Can you name that animal tune?
Oh, Talking Head?
No!
Oh, thank you.
Okay, thank you. Hi, you're on Talking Animals. Can you name that animal tune?
Yeah, I'm calling about the King Crimson song. It's on the radio.
Okay, you gotta name that animal tune. You've named the artist. That's good, but you gotta name that animal tune.
Hey, it's Elephant Song.
Perfect! You are a winner, sir. What is your first name?
My name's Tim.
Tim, okay, Tim. I'm going to come back and get your information, and we'll get you off a copy of the Alabama Shakes debut album, Boys and Girls. Thanks for listening. Congratulations.
Great.
All right, folks, we do have a winner, and we have just about reached the end of today's edition of Talking Animals on WMNF Tampa. And support for WNF comes from our members in the Straz Center announcing the 2012-13 Nat Geo series featuring Secret Edens with David Dubailet on January 22nd, Polar Extreme with Berga Usland on March 4th, and Birds of Paradise with Tim Lammon on April 23rd. More at strazcenter.org at 813-229-STAR. We'll be back next Wednesday, September 19th, when our guest will be Jane Velez Mitchell, award-winning journalist and best-selling author who hosts her own self-titled show on the HLN Network, filled in for years for Larry King, and just really whip-smart, fascinating woman who's covered some of the biggest stories in the last decade or more, and also is a prominent figure in the world of animal welfare. So that's September 19th, next Wednesday at 11 a.m. I hope you'll join me then. I also hope you visit our website, TalkingAnimals.net, where we make available all sorts of information as well as archives and podcasts of past Talking Animals programs. We also have a link to the Talking Animals Facebook page, our Twitter feed, and more. Please like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter. That's all found at TalkingAnimals.net. Talking Animals broadcast outreach consultant is Libby Salas. My thanks to her. I'm Duncan Strauss. Thanks very much for listening. Have a good week. Be kind to animals. Be kind to others. Be kind to yourself. And if you want more public affairs and news, then you can switch to our digital channel, 88.5 HD3. The Tom Hartman Show starts at noon at WNF.org/thesource. But if you love music and great music to boot, stay tuned for the wonderful Scott Elliott and the All Souls edition of It's the Music, airing next from noon to 3. We're closing out today's show with an animal tune also originally selected to play when the RNC was taking over Tampa. This is Maceo Parker with a song called Elephant Foot, taking us up to the NPR News on WMNF Tampa, Brandon, Braden, and Weeki Wachee and beyond. Thanks for listening. We'll speak with you again next week at 11 a.m. on Talking Animals, where our guest will be, again, Jane Velez Mitchell. Thanks for listening. Take care.
While chilling one day, not knowing what to do, I thought I'd get my friend and go to the zoo. We didn't see an elephant or a cage. Someone had put them all on the stage. There were lumps and bumps and all kinds of grind. You know those elephants wouldn't stay in line. I said, I know just what they need. Let's teach them all to do the Wayman Reed. We practice and practice all day long to teach these elephants the elephant song. They looked at us with tight lips, just kept on moving those big elephant hips. And elephant dancing is a thing to see. And that's when I noticed they were looking at me. I said, come on, elephants, come on, let's go. And that's when one of them stepped on my toe. Ah! Elephant stepped on my foot. 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 You must give elephant a dirty look. A pretty good gimmick. I looked at my watch, it was getting late. It was about time to open the gate. People came in to see the show. Someone said, hey, look, that's Maceo. I said, can I have your attention, please? These elephants are about to dance you down to your knees. They bumped and grind and swayed all day. Started thinking about after the show, hey. I said, come on, it's not time to eat. We got to get the crowd up off their feet. We got to keep going for a while yet. Gotta help the owner out of debt. I said, anyway, after this, there's another show. And again, same elephant, same toe. Elephant stepped on my foot. Elephant stepped on my foot. Elephant stepped on my foot. Elephant stepped on my foot.